We are opening up the Locked On 49ers mailbag. Your questions about the latest going on with the Niners, the quarterback situation, the NFL draft, less than a month away, Croc, from the NFL draft, all that coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at the Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. That's what we do, Croc. The NFL never sleeps, but I think things have calmed down a little bit for us today. We've got a ton of old questions that people are asking us great questions all the time. Email lockedon49ers@gmail.com, by the way. On Twitter, you can see our Twitter handles on the screen. If you're watching this on YouTube, at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker, where most of these questions will come from. But things have calmed down a little bit. We can kind of get into some subjects here, and we're starting to get into draft mode, and we're going to go through all the positional needs. We've done a lot of that already, go through our favorite prospects by position in the draft. We've got some questions about those draft prospects. And of course, tomorrow's show, to end the week, Croc and I are going to do a live mock draft for the 49ers, all seven rounds, and see what we come up with as a haul for the San Francisco 49ers, putting our GM caps on as the roster is currently constructed. And some things could change with this roster before the draft comes, but I think the teams are all in that mode right now. Everyone's getting in their war rooms, hunkering down, looking at all the last pro days and getting the last workouts in before they hash it out and argue about how these players should be ranked. So I think Croc and I should do some of the same over the course of the next month. And of course, Croc's doing the Locked On NFL Draft podcast every day. So you're knee deep in that film right now, I assume, Croc.
I am. But you know what? Maybe not as much as I usually am, which is kind of weird because it's like, well, I cover the draft every day. But I don't know. I think it's with all the different topics that we're talking about on the draft, you know, looking into teams, what are kind of some of their needs, doing a lot of mock drafts, talking about a lot of prospects that, you know, are going up and down because of pro days and things like that. It almost takes away a little bit of the deep diving film study that I typically do. I am ramping it up for the month of April, kind of leading up to the NFL draft. But I don't know. I mean, it's been a long season, so I've watched a lot of guys. But I don't think I've watched as much of each guy that I typically watch, at this point.
And you started a little bit early with your film study. So you saw more guys maybe in the fall from that standpoint than you would have, because a lot of times it's catch up mode and you're thinking about one team, the 49ers for the most part, usually in draft season. Right. And now you've got to get to know all the teams a little bit more. So you're looking at the broader spectrum of the draft instead of the immediate, like, okay, what are the Niners top needs? Let's look at all those prospects in a row.
Right.
Start to rank out. Right. So,
and when you talk about it every day on the show, it's like, do people really want to hear about some random corner, you know, because, you know, you got to get people to want to listen to the podcast. Yeah. So, and obviously, I mean, this is my first season doing the Locked On NFL draft. So still trying to, you know, get feedback and find out what exactly the fans or listeners want to listen to.
Right.
Like, what do they want to listen to on a daily basis?
Yeah. When you're talking about some of the latest pro days and stuff, it's still some of the top prospects. Do the listeners want to hear you get deep into some really, really, really obscure prospects from small schools that are going to be drafted, and potentially you find the next, you know, superstar, the hidden gem there. So I think they want all of it, Croc. Everybody wants all of it all the time. That's why we do this daily here on the Locked On Podcast Network, yeah, right?
Definitely.
I went deep diving. Speaking of Twitter, before we get to some other tweets, I'm going to get to our tweets, Croc, because I went deep diving earlier today because you've been talking about some old tweets because people have been coming at you saying that that you didn't like Mac Jones, that you called him no better than
Nick Mullins,
right? Is that what it was?
So it was along the lines of that. Yeah, it was. I was like, well, that's ridiculous.
And you said, go find the receipts. Go find my old tweets. I was talking about Mac Jones being a Kyle Shanahan style quarterback before anybody else. So I went looking to find out when that was, Croc. And I found your tweet. The first time you mentioned Mac Jones was last October, no, two Octobers ago, October 12th, 2020. So this is during the college football season, right?
And early in the season, pretty early. Season, I mean, that's maybe 2 weeks in, maybe.
Yeah, like a month. The season starts around around September, right? So they've had a handful of games, but Mac Jones wasn't a high first round pick at this point. And Croc said early, but my guess is that Mac Jones from Alabama is the most Kyle Shanahan, quote unquote, style quarterback. Tough, not very mobile, runs offense efficiently, not a huge arm, but will air that hoe out. Gets ball in his hands now. Ball out of his hands now, yeah, and haven't seen him really create outside of the structure of the play call. And so you're explaining Kirk Cousins, who at that time we knew to be the Kyle Shanahan guy, right? So right. That's what you're explaining there. And yeah, it clearly that is a Kyle Shanahan type quarterback. And you go on to explain that Matt Ryan type, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, those are the comps. Those are the guys we thought that Kyle Shanahan liked, which is why everyone was pointing to Mac Jones for the Niners in the draft last year. And then of course he goes out and he kind of breaks that tendency and he went with the athletic quarterback. One of the few guys who played in a pro-style offense, though, in Trey Lance in college. And that's one of the big things that Kyle's done now a couple times when he's drafted quarterbacks, right? He's drafted two. Both came out of pro-style systems in college. There's not very many teams that even run pro-style systems in college anymore.
Right. And it was wild. Like, I catch a lot of flack for that because my pushback on Mac Jones, one, when I tweeted that out, I don't think there was anyone that thought he would be a first-round pick at all. And I just was like, you know what? He fits what Kyle wants to do. And clearly what I'm explaining is not the splashy of things, but man, he can run an offense. He can be efficient. And it does kind of, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, maybe even the Carr. I think Carr was more explosive at Fresno State, but kind of that type of prospect. And it wasn't, and even that pick 12, like I was still thinking him at 12. Now my pushback on that was, should I take him at 12 or somebody like Michael Parsons?
Parsons.
So should I take him at 12 or somebody like Parsons? Or should I take Parsons and Davis Mills later? And I felt like I think that Davis Mills can end up being pretty much on par with Mac Jones. And I think he had even a little bit more upside with his athleticism. I would go that direction and then draft an elite player at 12. That was just the way my mind worked. But that's not to say I don't like Mac Jones. Now, when they 49 straight up to 3, there was no way that you could convince me that Mac Jones was that caliber of prospect to take in that spot. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't like him. I think, how Twitter is, it's either black or white. You either praise the guy, and if you're not praising him, everybody thinks you hate this guy. And that's why I told the guy, look up it. You cannot find a tweet with me saying I don't like Mac Jones or you don't draft Mac Jones or anything like that. It was all about the draft slot, what he was, and I actually thought he would be a good fit, but just not at 3. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, and the negativity around Mac Jones wasn't so much about him as a player. It was that not at 3. Like, at 3 is just too high, right? The upside's not there for him at number 3. And that's where most of the pushback was. And then it became, like everything becomes when fans get arguing, you're either pro or you're anti, and there's no gray area anymore. You can't be just like, tell it how it is about a player. You're either a hater or a lover of that player. You know what else I found that happened in that same October is I said 49ers fans that want Trevor Lawrence should be rooting for the Jets, Giants, and Jaguars and rooting against the Texans. And I sort of in this tweet predicted the trade with the Miami Dolphins. And yeah. I didn't even realize it until I was looking for your tweet. And I found this one. The only path, however unlikely, is Miami gets the number one pick. They own Houston's first and they want to keep Tua. Would be expensive, but not impossible. So I was talking about how Miami is the team the 49ers could trade up with. That was in response to going up all the way to number one and getting Trevor Lawrence. It turns out the 49ers did pay that price, but it was to get up to number 3 with Miami. And that ultimately they drafted Trey Lance. So fun.
That was interesting because I think that the 49ers would have traded up as high as they could. So if they were able to get number one overall, then they would have done it. Now, obviously, Jacksonville ended up being number one, drafting number one overall. They weren't moving off it. They were drafting Trevor Lawrence for sure. But if it was Miami, like you said, they were definitely going to stay with Tua. And the 49ers had a clear shot to go up and get Trevor Lawrence if they felt he was that type of caliber. Now, obviously, not even in hindsight, just thinking back to that moment, I did not have Trevor Lawrence my QB1. So QB1 for me, as far as talent, upside, ability, all that, it was always Justin Fields. And the 49ers had a chance to get him and didn't.
Yep. Very interesting stuff.
And real quick, before we have you, and I don't know how much you've just watched Trevor Lawrence, but have you watched enough to say, you know what, I like what I've seen more from him than maybe Justin Fields or even Trey Lance or Mac Jones or anyone else? Do you think that he was, you know, it's like, oh, he's the number one overall pick, and, oh, I could see exactly why?
That's a great tease for a question coming up in the mailbag, Croc, about those second-year quarterbacks now in 2022, the rookie class from 2021. Which one of those quarterbacks will have the biggest jump? We'll get to that question. Your guy Will Blackman had an interesting quote on Jimmy G that I want to bring up here, and some other good questions about some draft prospects and other things considering the San Francisco 49ers. But first, I want to let the folks out there know about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information, from all the latest odds, contests, and player props, you name it. And of course, after months in the Final Four coming up this week, BetOnline remains the best spot for all your latest sports developments, including news as well this season on all the leagues, not just basketball and football. Major League Baseball getting going, preparing for those fantasy baseball drafts. You've got boxing and UFC and even your favorite Vegas casino games. Live betting as well. Don't forget, you can still bet on those second halves of games if you didn't get in before tip-off. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device and learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. Make sure you're following Locked On NFL, Locked On Experts, covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. And just like this program, it is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Croc, this question from AA Ron on Twitter. To your point about Trevor Lawrence, he says, which rookie quarterback from 2021 will have the biggest jump in 2022? Now, I think the best rookie season was Mac Jones. How much does he have left? How close to the ceiling is he? Is he all the way up, bumping his head on the top? Is he just, you know, getting his feet wet? Is he somebody that's going to just become the next great quarterback, right? Is there a lot more there for him? Who knows? Because really, like, arm talent, athleticism, all those things are important in what a player's potential is. But really, quarterback is still a cerebral position, and it's played from the neck up. And Mac Jones clearly has something going on there, right? So how much more of that is there? And he's got a good enough arm. And as you said, when you coined the term air that hoe out, he can throw the ball deep, right? And people still bring that up to you. That was the first time you tweeted that out, by the way, talking about Mac Jones, which is pretty funny because, you know, people aren't impressed by him physically, but he can get the ball where it needs to go. Sometimes he has to put a little bit extra effort to kind of get it to the sideline. I see a lot of that in Matt Corral, and people are talking about him as a first round prospect. And I'm like, man, he's not very big. And I see him have to really try hard to get the ball out there when he needs to with velocity sometimes. So I'm not buying him as a first round prospect. But anyway, I'm going off the rails here already. Which quarterback, Croc, from the 2021 draft will have the biggest jump in 2022? And I think Trevor Lawrence could be that guy. Justin Fields could be that guy, clearly, because he has so much talent and it was not a good rookie season for him. Although when you start to look at it at the beginning when he was starting games and at the end when he was starting games, it was very much trending upward. I don't know that Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson started to trend up all that much last season. Like, they did not have good rookie seasons. I got to go back and watch them a little bit more, because your question to me was how much have I watched, and I didn't watch that closely to, you know, as closely as I watched Trey Lance's starts, for example. But Trey Lance showed improvement from beginning of the season to the end of the season. That was only one start and one start. For Justin Fields, it was a bigger sample of, you know, a group of starts here. And then the final eight games, like, oh, that's a lot better. Still not good enough, though. I don't remember seeing the progression of that and seeing really good positive vibes from Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson ending the season. And part of that is probably for Trevor Lawrence because of how bad that whole Urban Meyer year was for the Jaguars.
Yeah, so real quick, just to kind of touch on, you know, positive vibes trending in the right direction. Trevor Lawrence against the Indianapolis Colts last game. Remember, they won. He was on fire that game. At one point, he had, one incompletion. He had completed, 17 of his first 18 passes or something like that. So that was one time he was on fire, and he didn't have some of the weapons as other guys. You know, like, he was the team. They had a replacement head coach, and he dealt with a lot of turmoil, and that's tough. And I think maybe, you know, he is the guy to be able to handle that. You talked about Mac Jones a little bit, and I thought he was in the best situation for just like stability and to be able to do the right things between him and Trey Lance. But obviously Trey Lance only played two games. But with Mac Jones, it was very clear, and I don't know if this was by design, but he was getting the ball out of his hands. But right now, he threw the ball to the running back more than any other quarterback in the entire NFL. They leaned heavily on the run game. I talked about the one game where it was, you know, obviously the weather conditions weren't great, but he threw the ball three times, and they were still able to win. So he was in a very unique situation. The defense was great, right? They were taking the ball away. They were scoring points, all those things. So I think he was in one of the better situations. Did he show his maybe true colors in the playoffs where they had to go head-to-head with Josh Allen, and Josh Allen just put it on them, and he could not keep up or compete? There will be a lot of people that say, well, he didn't have enough help at the pass catcher position. You know, they went and got Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Kendrick Bourne led the team, maybe not as ideal, but Nelson Aguilar. Like, I feel like his supporting cast was, and with his offensive line, was far better than anything that guys like Trevor Lawrence had, or even like Zach Wilson. I do think that Zach Wilson was trending in the right direction once healthy, in the sense of just the playmaking ability, the throws he was able to make. Again, a lot of it, time clock probably sped up because there was a lot on him. They need to continue to improve the offensive line play. But if we're taking Trey Lance out of this, so I'm not being biased, all right? So we're leaving Trey Lance out by default.
Trey Lance is clearly the answer, right?
Right, for me. It's like, oh, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. Look at the guys he's able to throw to. Look at the team. Look at his coach. He should be in contention for that. But again, he hasn't played nearly as much as any of these other guys. Mm-hmm. So who's going to have the biggest year two leap? I mean, gosh, of course, it's Davis Mills, Houston Texans. Ooh. I think they're going to do a little bit more to put some stuff around him. I like the way he was trending. You talked about getting better throughout the year. He clearly did. I know he didn't play as well against the 49ers, but I mean, just a week prior, play lights out against the Chargers, knocking them out, almost pretty much eliminating them from the playoffs, or making it harder for them to make the playoffs. I think Davis Mills, if they can put a little bit more around him, they talk about Mac Jones, they talk about you know, Trevor Lawrence and some of these other guys. I feel like Davis Mills maybe had the least outside of Brandon Cooks. Who else did he have on the offense at all? Like, O-line, pass catchers, running back, his leading back was like Rex Burkhead. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he still put together some terrific games. Hell, he played against the New England Patriots, had over 300 yards, threw three touchdowns, zero interceptions. Like, they were knocking on the door, you know, to win that game. So I think he's going to make the biggest year two leap, and a lot of people are going to be surprised by that.
Woof. I'm still going to go with my pre-draft evals. I think Justin Fields has too much talent. They still haven't gotten better as a team. I don't know what the Bills
are. Have you seen their free agency?
They haven't done anything.
They haven't done anything at all.
Even the Lions went out and got like DJ Chark. That would have been a great move for the Bears and help him out with that deep ball. You know, someone to get down the field. That'd be tough to cover with Mooney on one side and Chark on the other side, right? They haven't really added to the offensive line. They lost one of their starters in James Daniels. So I don't know what the Bears are doing. So from that perspective, I don't know how much better, you know, it's all about the new coaching staff for Justin Fields.
Yeah. And new coaching staff like that is,
they don't have a first round pick because they traded it to go up and get Justin Fields.
Davis Mills, another thing he has working for him, a guy that I kind of wanted the 49ers to steal and make offensive coordinator, but Pep Hamilton, he's like the QB whisperer.
Yeah. You know,
this really is a guy who really worked to develop, Andrew Luck throughout college. Like, he was Andrew Luck's offensive coordinator throughout college. Indianapolis Colts said, you know what? Let's get smart here. Let's bring Pep Hamilton with him. So he was Andrew Luck's offensive coordinator for the Colts for the first 4 years. He also had a huge hand. Everybody talks about Anthony Lynn. Oh, Anthony Lynn, he was part of developing Justin Herbert. No, that was Pep Hamilton. And then you see what he did with Davis Mills last year, just getting him to play. I mean, this is a guy who played 13 games in college. And I had a lot of ability, but he wasn't there yet. And I thought he had one of the better rookie years out of quarterbacks last season. So I think that's a guy. I think he's going to take that next step.
And all these guys are so talented, you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson too, because even though it didn't look great his rookie season, we talked about yesterday how we saw Trey Lance's development looking a little bit more comfortable in his second start, and how they talked about him practice just airing it out and letting it go, letting it rip, I think was the exact term that they used about Trey Lance in practice last year. At the end of the season, he was letting it rip a little bit more. And I think you start to see that with Zach Wilson a little bit. And they tried to go get Tyreek Hill. Right?
Yeah.
They might draft, say, Garrett Wilson at number 10. You know, if they draft one of these dynamic wide receivers in the draft and help him out there, they've already got Corey Davis in-house. They've already got, I love the second rounder, Elijah Moore, who they drafted last year is sort of that slot wide receiver. They've got the opportunity to get a little bit better on the offensive line, be healthier there, run the ball a little bit more. They've got that Shanahan offense already. So, I mean, he could take a huge leap too. So this is going to be fun because you don't expect the rookie quarterbacks to be great right away. We might see all these guys all of a sudden be like, oh, wow, yeah, that class was amazing when all these guys are out there and playing. And I think they'll all be playing at a better level in 2022 than they did in 2021. So that's going to be a fun storyline because everyone wants to talk about the rookies. To me, this rookie class isn't super impressive with quarterbacks in the 2022 draft. So I'm going to still be watching that 2021 class of rookie quarterbacks.
Right. Now, one thing that these guys have working for them is all those guys we just mentioned, they are the guy. The only guy that there's still questions about, and I don't even know if it's because of play or whatever, but just because of the situation, is Trey Lance. He's mm-hmm. the only one. These other guys, Houston, is, all right, Davis Mills, like, you know, this is your show. All these other, it's your show. The only one that hasn't really been given that vote of confidence is Trey Lance. And I think that's tough, too, as it pertains to just the development of young quarterbacks.
All right, we'll get to some more Twitter questions here, maybe some emails as well. And one thing that your guy, Will Blackman, former NFL corner, said about Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think is fantastic, that is coming up next. How about this one, Croc, from Will Blackman? He said, this is from a few weeks ago, and I saved it, and I forgot about it until now. He said, Jimmy G is like a chip clip. Did you see this?
Yeah.
So Jimmy G is like a chip clip. You don't find any value in them and take them for granted, but once you find one in your drawer and use it to save a bag of chips from going stale, all of a sudden you understand that they do have a significant place after all. Jimmy G is a chip clip. And right now the 49ers don't want to give up that chip clip. And I wonder if these other teams had a chance to utilize that chip clip, they would think more of Jimmy Garoppolo.
I see where my guy Will is going with this.
And it's also similar. Remember Adrian Colbert last week said the Kool-Aid thing, which is very similar, right? Our team was Kool-Aid without the sugar until Jimmy Garoppolo showed up. So he's like he's a key ingredient. He's not the main dish, but he's a key ingredient. Like, you miss it, you know, like if I don't have hot sauce on my eggs in the morning, I miss it. Right. So you don't realize how important Jimmy is until you start winning a whole bunch of football games.
I think the chip clip thing, and one thing that's very apparent, and I will compare it, you know, I would say that's good right there, comparing that to Jimmy Garoppolo. But one thing's, like, most people don't have chip clips in their house because you just don't need it. Right. Like, yeah, you could use it. And when you do have it, it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. But if you lose it, you're not looking all over the ground on the floors trying to find it.
I would disagree. I do agree that a lot of people don't have them in their house, but I do have chip clips, and I am furious if I can't find my chip clip. I will look everywhere for that chip clip. Go in my kid's bedroom, they're like, did he take the chip clip and start playing
with
it?
Are you serious?
Oh, dude, you need the chip clip. It's important. I don't want my chips going stale. I'm a big chips and salsa guy. I love Mexican food, and I do not want stale chips, and I want the freshest chips possible. So I'll go to the actual restaurant and get myself chips and salsa, not the store-bought stuff. You know, I want the real deal, and I want it to stay fresh, because it doesn't stay fresh as long when you get it fresh from the restaurant. So I chip up that clip for sure.
I think you are the Kyle Shanahan of chip clips owners. Like, you know, it's like, that's Kyle, right? Where it's like, hey, no, I value this. I'm the rest of the NFL and how they feel about Jimmy Garoppolo.
You don't have any chip clips. That's why. Because if you did, you would realize that you can't ever go back.
Yeah, Will is funny.
Arno says, at Eric Crocker at BD Peacock. Back me with Alec Pierce. I saw Chris Sims putting him at wide receiver 3 on his list. I like him as a Marquez Valdez-Scantling type of player. Good complement with Debo and Ayuk. What do you guys think? Any chance he's there in round 2? I'll answer the second part. There's a for sure chance he's definitely going to be there in round 2. Is he going to be there in round 3 is my question, because that's where I'd start to look for Alec Pierce. But he put up some crazy numbers. I think you do like Alec Pierce a little bit, right, Croc?
Yeah, I do like him. Now, his game is different than Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I don't know if he has the pure straight line speed that Scantling plays with, but he definitely has an ability to be a terrific at the catch point, 50-50 balls. I think he'd bring that added element the 49ers need. And I'm not just saying this because he's a white dude, but I think if you put him in a slot, like, he'd kill. Like, he'd be a big slot. He's like 6'2", 211 pounds. He ran a 4.41 at the combine. He has really good hands. I think if his twitch, he showed when I watched him at the Senior Bowl, because he was a guy that I was looking for. When I watched him Senior Bowl week, I thought he was a guy that showed more twitch than what I was expecting. I thought he did a really good job of setting up routes. I think he legit is like Cooper Kupp. Now, that's not the cool thing. I mean, I don't want to say cool thing. Now that people might take that and like exaggerate it because of what Cooper Kupp did last season. But if you look at what Cooper Kupp did over the previous few years, where it's like, hey, man, that's a good receiver, right? Nobody, I don't think anybody saw 1,900 yards coming. But with what Cooper Kupp was previously, and if you're looking at Alec Pierce through that lens of a guy that could be like, hey, 900 yards, maybe a 1,000-yard receiver, win in the slot, have some good run after catch, be tough to catch, you know, do all the good, I think he can be that. And Cooper Kupp is big, too. I think they are probably similar in stature. They're probably both about 6'2", 210 pounds.
I think that's blasphemous, Croc, to be putting the Cooper Kupp tag on Alec Pierce.
Well, it's only blasphemous because of what Cooper Kupp did last year. But if you block out last season and you look at what Cooper Kupp, which I thought he was good.
I mean, even before that would put Alec Pierce in a category that I wouldn't put him in, because Cooper Kupp was a second-round pick. Was he third? I thought he was second. Might have been third round pick, but maybe
high. He was very, very high third. Very high.
Might have been very high third round. And he was like a, you know, legit NFL starting receiver, if not a wide receiver 1 already, even before he had his crazy breakout year, right? So that would be a lot to expect from Alec Pierce. And I think Alec Pierce is a really good receiver and almost might get drafted too high because he put out the crazy workout numbers. So I wouldn't be drafting Alec Pierce in the second round for sure. You know, he might go in round 3 or so.
At 61, you could.
I wouldn't want to go there. I would for sure, if I'm trying to draft Alec Pierce, I would want him at 93, 105, or even hope he's still there in the fourth round.
And it might not be.
If you don't get him, that's okay. You know, if you don't get him, that's okay. But that's kind of how I feel about him. It's like, I like him, but he almost worked out so well. I don't think he plays to those numbers at Cincinnati.
Cooper Kupp at Eastern Washington put up ridiculous numbers. But he just didn't run very well. He ran like 4.62. So, you know, you combine the 4.62 with playing at the FCS level, right? Division I AA, where he did dominate. But you could see, like, well, would he be able to do that to the NFL? How would it translate? He killed at the Senior Bowl. I'd see some similarities just in their game. Now, again, I'm not saying that Alec Pierce is going to come in and be somebody's wide receiver 1. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be this terrific receiver. But if you just look at their body, how they move, what their ability looks like, I see similarities there. And I think if you were to put him in the slot, because he played primarily outside at Cincinnati, and Desmond Ridder leaned on him a lot. If you put him in the slot, where now he's playing against guys, slot corners, who maybe aren't as fast, the Kwan Williams of the world, put him up against safeties or in space against linebackers, man, I think he's made for that.
How about a guy that doesn't maybe meet all of the measurables in the draft? Nick wants to know our thoughts on Marcus Jones, the defensive back from Houston, right? Says 49ers have met with him, returner and nickel corner, small but plays big. Have you watched a lot of Marcus Jones? He's what, 5'8", makes all kinds of plays though.
The game I watched the most with him was against Cincinnati and Alec Pierce.
Oh,
so okay. I watched that live. Yeah, I watched that live. You know, it's funny too, because you know, 49er fans, they like grasp a name. Like, it's like this name starts to get kind of tagged with the 49ers, and then all the fans want that guy. So he's asking about Jones, but Jones, I've been seeing a lot of 49er fans asking about him for some reason. Definitely a smaller guy, but that he went toe-to-toe with Alec Pierce. He won a couple of jump balls where he knocked the ball away. He lost one, I believe, in the end zone as well, where Alec Pierce went up top on him. So it was a really good battle. He does show necessary twitch. He called him a nickel corner, and I think people are pegging him as that just because he's smaller in stature. But he was an outside corner at Houston. Now, if need be, he'd line up inside doing some type of man coverage and things like that. But from what I saw, the games I saw, he was an outside corner. But obviously, you know, at 5'8", you will most likely kind of make that transition. This isn't the 1998 Darnell Walker and those guys the 49ers used to have. Remember the 49ers? Mark McMillan?
McMillan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, five. What was he, 5'5", 5'6", and then and then Walker was like, what, 5'7"? I mean, the 49ers had these tiny dudes on the outside. Yeah.
And they looked even smaller because back then they would have the big shoulder pads and the more droopy uniforms, right? And so they just look like little kids in their Pop Warner jerseys because they were so, the shoulder pads were so huge on these little guys.
Yeah.
That's a great pull there, man. I did not thought about, it was Darnell Walker?
Darnell Walker, I believe. I mean, I'm just kind of pulling that out of my memory.
Yeah, no, that's right. I remember him. I think we might be getting the first name. Darnell?
It's Walker. I know that.
It is sure. Walker. It's for sure Walker, yeah. And McMillan, too. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Last one here.
Darnell Walker.
Darnell Walker, yeah, okay.
Darnell Walker.
And they had Jason Webster, too, who wasn't very big, who they drafted.
Yeah, Webster,
right? Yep. Tons of small guys. The Smurfs out there at one point.
Yeah, Darnell Walker played for the 49ers, Atlanta Falcons, Detroit Lions. Played 8 years in the NFL, 16 interceptions, and was a seventh-round pick. Oh, not bad, because he was a smaller guy.
So that's your Marcus Jones comp? Darnell
Walker? No, I'm just saying, back in the day, those guys, you could be 5'8", and they wouldn't even blink. They'd put you on the outside and not care.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and then also, that was when the big receivers really started coming into play. So as the receivers got bigger, especially between, because Terrell Owens was one of the, Jerry Rice wasn't small. Everybody, I think they look at him, he was 6'2", 200 pounds. So yeah, he was a bigger receiver. But then Terrell Owens was the first of that, 6'3", 220-pound receiver. And then Randy Moss came shortly after that, 6'4", blazer. And then after that, you had a run of, Roy Williams, Reggie Williams, Charles Rogers.
Braylon Edwards.
RIP Charles Rogers. Yeah. But I mean, there were a ton
Boston,
massive. Yeah,
David Boston was just straight roided up. That guy.
He wasn't at first, and then I don't know what happened. It was just all of a sudden he was 250 pounds.
Everybody just, there was that crazy early 2000s where everyone ballooned like nuts in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald, he came around that time. Yeah.
Braylon Edwards and Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson, 1996, number one overall pick. I read his book back in the day.
I remember it was a hot
topic. He got shot. He got shot in the leg when, why'd he get shot? It was before his pro day or something like that. I think he ran his pro day with a bullet in his leg or something crazy.
What? Before the drafts?
Yeah, it was something crazy like that.
It was it wasn't Plaxico, right? Where he had a gun in his sweatpants that fell out.
Nah, Keyshawn Johnson got shot at. Now, I read his book. It was for no reason, just in the neighborhood. I think he grew up in LA. It was something like that. I can't remember the details, but.
All right. I don't know if we have time now for the last question. What five players do you hope are available for the 49ers at 61? Let's just let's save that question for later, but I just want you to give me one name. Right now, today, Niners don't trade up or trade down. 61. Who do you hope that realistically will be there for the 49ers right now?
Dang, that is tough. Because I'm looking, I think the 49ers have done it. A safety. Why am I blanking on the safety's names right now? But not Petrie, not him. Dax, which that would be nice
Daxton
too.
Daxton Hill.
I would love Daxton Hill. That's my type of guy right there. I mean, he can be a corner.
He can be your slot or your safety. Yeah.
Just fluid. You want me to play man in the nickel? All right. So 49ers, they kill two birds with one stone. Oh man, I can have him as a two high safety and base. He can come down, play nickel. He can play man. He can run. What did he run at the combine? 4.37?
Something like that. 4.3s for sure.
It was something ridiculous. I would love Daxton Hill. Love him. Not sure if he gets out the first round, but if he does, he starts creeping up second round. That's a guy I would look out for.
I'm going to be watching that Baylor Pro Day. That is Thursday and Jalen Petrie is an important because he didn't run at the combine. Let's see how that guy runs. And maybe if he runs too good, he won't be there for the 49ers at 61. But I do like some versatility there. I like the way he plays. He gets the Tyrann Mathieu comp. I think Kroc doesn't like him as much as some 49ers fans. And by the way, to put a button on what you were saying earlier about how 49ers fans and, you know, fans in general, sort of one name starts to get really hot and be a huge topic, and the fans get really excited about one player, and it kind of moves around. And because you hear about, you know, the 49ers met with one player here or there, they meet with everybody. So just stop worrying about who they met with. They literally meet with every prospect, do as much work as possible on every prospect. It doesn't mean they love them or going to draft them every time they meet with a guy just because you hear about it, because you usually don't hear about it. And the ones they really want you to not hear about, they're keeping secret, because those are the guys they really love. And
Mike McGlinchey, he didn't hear from the Niners since the combine.
Trey Lance didn't even know until he got the phone call. And he was the number 3 pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't go crazy every time you hear the 49ers have met with a prospect. But, you know, when they're turning over stones at small schools and going out of their way to see guys, and, you know, when they're sending the GM, you can maybe take a little bit from it. They're at least serious about it, and they want to get a good look at a player. All right, we'll see if John Lynch shows up.
I wish they would have. Remember, they were dipping and double dipping into Minka Fitzpatrick, and they're like, nah, we're not going to draft you, Minka Fitzpatrick. Remember, because they went on two. They brought him. They had him out there. Then brought him back. They went on multiple dates with Minka Fitzpatrick. Then was like, nah, we're going to draft a guy that we didn't even meet with, even though they had a gold star next to Minka Fitzpatrick, right? Or gold helmet. Yeah. That was my guy. I thought he was the best defensive player in that draft.
I loved him. Shadow 49er, Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Derwin James is pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Derwin just can't James stay not, healthy. Just can't
not
stay
bad.
Healthy.
Okay. Good stuff, Kroc. Let's get this live mock draft going tomorrow. I'm pumped for it. We're going to have to put a name next to number 61 for the San Francisco 49ers. If we stay at 61, Kroc, you guys will have to wait and see when Eric Crocker and Brian Peacock put their GM hats on and draft for the San Francisco 49ers. Tomorrow, it won't be the only mock draft we do leading up to the NFL draft either. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen. Check out Kroc doing Locked On NFL Draft for your second listen. Check out me doing Peacock and Williamson talking about the entire league daily right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Kroc and I back tomorrow. Locked On 49ers.